We're going to be sharing communion together. I hope you all got your little things, whatever they're called. Let me just set the scene for that before we get there. In 2 Samuel 9, you get the story of King David. David had become king. The kingdom was, his kingdom was well established. And then he comes there in 2 Samuel 9 and he asks, "Is there anyone still left at the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David was very aware of the covenant that he had made with Jonathan. A covenant that was not even broken by death. And he was absolutely determined to honour it, and he initiated this search that was going on. And it's just such a reminder that God is the God of covenants. And the greatest covenant of all is established in Jesus. And you know, he searches for us. I mean, that Sean was just, that's what he was saying, wasn't it, in all those incidents in his life. Jesus searches for us. David was searching for someone of the household of Jonathan because of the covenant relationship. Jesus searches for us out of his covenant love. I just love the way he doesn't wait for us to come to him. He comes looking for us. And so the story goes on. Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba, and they summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba? At your service," he replied. And the king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" And the word that is interpreted as God's kindness is this word hesed, which is a word that is focusing on loving kindness, on steadfast love, faithfulness, covenant faithfulness. In fact, it's the Old Testament equivalent of agape love, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. It's got all of those concepts in it. And it's just a question I keep asking myself, and you know, I just put it to you. Do we really understand just how much God loves us? The depth of his love for each one of us. It is beyond comprehension, really. It is so deep, so all-embracing. So Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Lodibar was a kind of a real backwater. It was an out-of-the-way place. It was a barren kind of area. There was really nothing of worth about it. In fact, it would be exactly the kind of place that you would decide to move to if you wanted to hide. If you just felt, you know, "I need just to disappear somewhere." Perfect place to go to. That's where he was. And so King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honour. And David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belongs to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." You can imagine Mephibosheth just not being able to grasp what he was hearing. He must think, "Am I dreaming? What's going on?" It would have been the last thing that he was expecting, having been brought from that place, having been summoned before the king, because it would be very usual in that time for the new king to seek out any of the family of the previous king and to kill them, because they were potential rivals to the throne. And in the ancient world, you know, that was kind of what happened. You just destroyed the previous family. You destroyed anybody who could potentially come and take the throne from you. But instead, David was showing him kindness. He was showing him not simply kindness, he was restoring to him all that had belonged to his family. It was all, if you like, it was all aspects of Jubilee that is such a precious thing, that there was this faithful love, there was kindness, there was restoration. Even the fact that they were eating together, that's all set there in covenant relationship. In fact, he said to Mephibosheth, "You will always eat at my table." This wasn't a tokenism, this wasn't a one-off event. And Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "Who is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" And do you see how he saw himself? You know, how he viewed himself? And perhaps there's also a little bit of a play on words. Lodibar was seen as a worthless kind of place. And remember when I went to Zambia, the particular place that Lawrence was involved, we did a lot of work in, was a place called Chiplakusu, which was a township on the end of Ndola, up in the north there. And the word Chiplakusu means something like rubbish dump. So that's where they lived. They lived in Chiplakusu, the rubbish dump. And they decided, as God was stirring them there, they were going to get the name of this area. About 50,000 people lived there. They were going to get the name changed to Mapalo, which means blessings. And they eventually got the council, everybody onto it, and they changed the name. They were no longer known as the rubbish dump. They were known as the place of blessing. I just love the way that names, you know, just have an influence on you. So the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family." I just love the fact that inheritance for God's people is a big thing. God is intent on us receiving inheritance. If you read the history of the Jewish nation, and particularly the place of Jubilee, it was bound up, the central theme of that was, your inheritance must not be lost. Recovery of inheritance was embedded in Jubilee. And it's just a reminder, we have an inheritance. Each one of us have an inheritance. I'm not talking about a physical inheritance now. I'm talking about an eternal inheritance in God's. We have so much for each and every one of us in him. "Your son, you and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for." I just love the fact that God is our provider. You know, we hear the testimonies of that, don't we? God is our provider. He provides us with all that we need. So he says, "So that your master's grandson may be provided for, and Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." I kind of get the impression he wasn't too happy about it, but, you know, saying, "Oh, if you insist, I'll have to do it." But, you know, but I just love the fact that God is much more generous than the world around us is generous. He's much more giving. He's much more open-handed to us. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. I find that incredible. He didn't simply eat at the table. He didn't thinking, "I'm sure we can squeeze him in somewhere at the bottom." You know, the king's table would be a fairly massive table, wouldn't it? You know, if everyone was there, you know, we can, you know, not too close. He can be at the foot of the table somewhere, you know, just there. But no, he said, no, he will not be distinguished. There will be no separation, no distinguishing features between any of my sons and Mephibosheth. Isn't that amazing how he just embraced him? And that's how God embraces us into that place. So Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, remember, is the city of David, the royal city. That's where he lived, because he always ate at the king's table and he was lame in both feet. It's this reminder again, at the king's table there is an abundance of everything. You know, you would not go to eat at the king's table and find yourself just with a few oddments on your plate kind of thing. There'll be more than enough of everything. There'll be the best of everything. There'll be things that you wouldn't have seen before, that you wouldn't have even had a concept that there was such food available. Do you remember when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon? And she said to him, when she saw it, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in the robes, the cupbearers, she was overwhelmed. And remember, this was a queen who was overwhelmed. She was used to having an amazing table, but she was saying, this is beyond anything even I could have imagined as queen. And God's provision, do we really understand what we have at his table? It is beyond comprehension. It is beyond anything that we could ever imagine in life as general. See, the table is a place of safety. If you are at the king's table, there's no way someone is going to come and accost you. There's no one that's going to come against you. You're safe. It is a place where you're recognized. You need to be careful how you treat this person, because he's at the king's table. He's one of the family. He's one that is there, honored by the king. It's a place of huge privilege. It's not many people get to eat at the king's table, and maybe some have an invite once, but to get there, to go there every day, to eat there constantly, only the king's immediate family would be doing that. And here he was. This is how God invites us into that place of safety. He invites us into that place of privilege and to have the exclusivity of the food that was there. There is something about being at the table that I believe God's highlighting right now, and in a broader sense than even the communion table, although this is special. I believe he's releasing this fresh impartation, this fresh invitation to the table. And as we come to the table, the king is at his table. Jesus is here. He is at his table this morning. He has invited us. He has sought us out. He has gathered us together to eat at his table, where he is presiding over the table. He is there with us. He has provided for us. And as I say, like Mephibosheth, we have a permanent invitation. We don't have to wait. We don't have to think, well, I've done that once. That was amazing. It's that this is our constant, ongoing provision. As we know, because of COVID, we've been banned from eating together in so many ways until now. We've found a way of doing that, and we would do more, I'm sure. But at the table also with Mephibosheth, the one thing that we notice is that his lameness was covered. When he was seated at the table, there was no sign of his disability. There's no sign of that. He was just sitting there like anyone else would be seated at the table. And as we come to the table, you know, God has covered all our shame, because no doubt there's an element of shame about it, his condition. God's covered all of our shame. He's covered all of the wounding that we get in life, because life can be wounding at times. He's covered it all as we come to his table. And so we come this morning because he has sought us out, each and every one of us. He has sought us out because he wants to show us his kindness, his steadfast love. He wants to show us his covenant faithfulness to us through his self-giving, through his self-sacrificing on the cross. So he's invited us. He's invited us. We are here. I want you to recognize you are here this morning at his table by personal invitation. It's not, well, I just happened to be here and I've forgotten it was, and you know, whatever. No, you're here by personal invitation this morning. He's been looking forward to this time. He's prepared the table for you to meet with him, to be with him. He has provided everything for us. An overwhelming abundance. Everything that we need for life and godliness, as the Bible tells us. We are at his table as sons and daughters of the King. I want you to see yourself in that way this morning. We come, as the psalmist says, to feast at the abundance of his house, where he gives us to drink from his river of delights at his table. We feast on the bread and the wine this morning, his body that nourishes us both physically and spiritually, his blood that cleanses us and covers us. I wanted you to picture yourself this morning at the table with Jesus. Just picture yourself with him. Be aware that all of your limitations are covered. The way that you might think about yourself, the things that you perhaps struggle with, the things that you dislike maybe, all those, they're covered. They're covered at his table. The wounds of life that you may have been struggling with, they are covered at his table. There is nothing to bar you coming. See yourself there. You know, it's so easy to disqualify ourselves. You're not disqualified. Mephibosheth thought that survival was his only hope. But instead, King David brought him into the royal household. We are members of the royal household coming to eat at his table. We are princesses, we are princes. We're King Jesus in his eternal kingdom. That's how we're coming this morning. We're coming to take of his body that was broken, so that we can be made whole. His blood that was shed, that he died our death, so that we can have life, true life, eternal life in him. You ready to feast this morning at his table? So, Lord, we thank you for your wonderful provision for us. I pray that you would continue to woo us, continue to draw us, that we will continue to feast with you, that we will see ourselves as you see us, that you would heal the woundedness, that you would lift us up, restore us, bring us into the fullness of every purpose you have for us.